This morning's reading is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10 from the Message translation. After the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came up to keep vigil at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right to where they were standing. He rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him. His garments shimmered, snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. The angel spoke to the women. "There is nothing to fear here. I know you are looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised, just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. Now, get on your way quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead. He is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. That's the message."
Thank you very much, Andy. I threw that to her at the last minute, so double thanks. And as I said earlier, good morning. Don't have to repeat myself. We are gathered here today, as millions around the world are, to celebrate, to ponder, to wonder in the story of resurrection and the good news that pours from this moment. Many of us have been reading, hearing, picturing, praying about the Easter story since we were probably as young as we can remember. And even if you haven't, it's such an audacious and frankly wild story that even if you know you'd never heard of the Christian faith, you probably would have encountered some of the symbols, some element of it in popular culture in whatever form. This is the center of our faith, Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus is God with us, as Mary talked about in a wonderful video. I could probably shut up and that could be the message. He came to earth as a baby, born to a young woman of low status in dubious cultural circumstances. We read the stories of his life as a teacher traveling around Israel and Judea. The stories he tells are full of love that is so free and inclusive. When he teaches and tells truth, it is challenging yet exciting. When we read of the miracles he performs, they are both inexplicable and yet wonderful. And then we follow this man, our Saviour, all the way to the cross and into death. And it is important at this time that we remember, that we remind ourselves of the death that Jesus suffered. This is our King, crowned with a crown of thorns, wearing royal robes of blood, whipped and scoured from himself. This is the man hanging on a tree for us. Many people wonder, well, why did God have to do it this way? Why did God have to suffer this pain, this agonizing, and let's be frank, it is an agonizing death. And if we remember back to Genesis, Abraham has a vision. He makes a covenant with God, and he falls into a deep sleep. And just prior to this sleep, God tells him to arrange animals sacrificed and cut into half. This was the cultural practice of the day, that if you were to swear a binding agreement, you would sacrifice an animal, cut it in half, to symbolize that if you broke the agreement, this was the penalty, to be like the sacrificed animal. These are the terms we set. And yet, in Abraham's vision, the fiery pot, God himself alone passes through the covenant, passes through the animals, split in half, taking all responsibility for the covenant and its penalty, be it broken. Crucifixion was not just an agonizing death, though. There is a reason that the Romans lined the roads leading to their capital with the enemies of the state crucified. It was a warning to the people there that this is what happens when you stand opposed to the Roman version of peace. It was a deterrent in the most humiliating way. It would take days, sometimes, for crucified people to die as they slowly lost the strength to breathe, as it became too painful, their back against the cross, slowly sloughing the skin and flesh off. It wasn't a quick death, and in that, it was humiliating for the people to be witnessed by all those who went past that this is the final humiliation before they passed away. That is the kind of God we serve. One who not only takes a painful and agonizing death, but a humiliating one for our sake. And it puts to death the idea that is so popular in today's culture, that justice must be done with violence. That we can feel a sense of emotional release through revenge, through pain, through gunning down our enemies, through bombing them into obliteration. This is the myth of redemptive violence that Jesus puts to death, that Jesus humiliates. To that tree that Jesus hangs is our sin. Our sin is not just our actions, our behavior, our thoughts, goes much more than that. It is everything within our existence, the structures, the systems that cause us to sin. The things where we can feel trapped. The things that cause us no hope. The things where we feel if we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. All these things miss the mark of what God intended. All these things are nailed to that cross. And on that cross, every strand of the story up to that point finds its climax. There are too many to go through here, but they all hang with Jesus on the cross, all dead. And this is the point where we find ourselves on Resurrection Sunday. We start at this point with death in the tomb. I wonder if you can think of a specific moment or moments in your life where you knew things had changed forever in an irrevocable, almost earth-shaking way. Maybe you can think of the loss of a loved one. Maybe you think of an event from history. The older ones among you might remember where you were when JFK was shot, or where you were when you heard about the Twin Towers falling. Or it might be something amazing. I think of the time, it's coming up to 8 years ago now, when I married Carissa. When I got to say I do to the woman I love. I think of the first date we had. We'd been friends for many years, but I think I knew after that moment, yeah, something's shifted. These are moments of incredible news, moments of decision-making, moments of surprise and joy sometimes. But there are also moments of loss, moments that ripped your heart out. And you suddenly stand in the knowledge that things would never be the way they were. And sometimes we only realize this in hindsight. But sometimes we do know them as they happen. We feel every moment. We watch ourselves live through them. When we read the Easter story, we might place ourselves in the shoes of Jesus' closest friends. The disciples stood at the foot of the cross, as we stand at the foot of the cross. They watched their beloved friend, their teacher, their brother, their son, their Savior, breathe his last. We feel the earth shake with them in our grief and see the sky go dark. We find ourselves in a tomb of loss and grief, probably feeling that all hope and light has gone out of the world. But then we read on. It is the start of a new week. The first day of the new creation. We are with our friends in the pre-dawn cold light, walking to the tomb to release our grief. And the earth shakes once again. Andy read from Matthew 28, I'd like to read it again for us. Suddenly the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. He rolled back the stone and then sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him, and his garments shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened they couldn't move. And the angel spoke to the women, "There is nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised, just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. Now get on your way quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead. He is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there." That's the message. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. Then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. "Good morning," he said to them. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshipped him. Jesus said, "You're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be frightened like that. Go. Tell my brothers that they are to go to Galilee, that I will meet them there." The earth shakes, and again the world is forever changed. Jesus is risen. He is alive. He meets the two Marys in his resurrected body, his human body. And he tells them that the story is not over. It is to go on. It has only just begun. Everything has changed in this moment. Not just for the Marys, not just for us, for everyone, for all people in all times. The love of God and the power of the Creator rolls out to offer life and hope to all. There's a lot about the resurrection story that is odd, to put it frankly. We get four different accounts in the four Gospels. And Matthew's account is full of symbols and imagery familiar to his culture. There's earthquakes, the appearances of angels, signals of God's divine power at work. And even though Christ had told his disciples about his coming resurrection, it seems to have taken them by surprise. And it's important to note why. In that age, in that day and age, Jewish people believed that the resurrection of the righteous dead, all the way from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right down to the most recent righteous martyrs, would come at the end of days. And though people such as prophets like Elijah or John the Baptist might be spoken of to return from the dead, what they probably meant was that someone would come who seemed to embody the same spirit, the same fiery prophecy. The resurrection that the Jews envisaged was a large-scale event. After Israel's great and final suffering, all God's people would be given new life and new bodies. It wasn't a lack of faith that the disciples had that stopped them from understanding what Jesus had said about his rising. It was simply that no one had ever dreamed that one single living person would be killed, executed, dead, and then raised to a new sort of bodily life on the other side of the grave, while the rest of the world carried on as before. The women, too, certainly weren't expecting it. They were the first witnesses of the resurrection scene. They're the first ones to witness the resurrected Jesus. They, as women, were not considered reliable witnesses in that time and place. And so the story is not a simple, straightforward victory tale. It is steeped in sorrow, grief, confusion, doubt, hope, wonder, joy, and amazement. It is the story of a divine miracle. But it is also a very human story. And as humans, we come to this story in the midst of our own muddle of feelings and struggles. And we come to this day always to be surprised. I suspect that the good news of the resurrection means different things to all of us, especially in the different seasons of our lives. We may be coming to this Easter weekend in grief, in times of struggle. The good news meets us there, just as it met the two Marys. The good news of a Savior who loves us, enough to die for us. The good news of victory over death, that death isn't the final word, that even though we die, the ones we love die, we don't stay dead. The good news of hope for something more, something beyond. The good news that Jesus has changed the world forever, cracking open the gates to his kingdom, for love to flow in and out. All of it is a surprise. It was a surprise to those first disciples. It is a surprise to us today, because it is too good to be true. It is that good to be true, that it always is a surprise. This day welcomes us into the Easter season. Even though it's a rainy morning, it is bright nonetheless, full of surprising good news that picks up speed as we move from Easter towards Pentecost. This good news creeps into our curious hearts and takes root, grows and blooms and spreads through our families and our communities. Jesus, the one with us, now dwells in us. And together, that's the journey we go on over the next few weeks as we unpack all the meaning of this season. Of Jesus' sacrifice, of his death and resurrection, of his message and his actions. So today, come just as you are, to the foot of the cross, to the open door of the tomb. Come as you are into this earth-shaking moment as we fall together at the feet of our Savior. Always surprised, and join and wonder at this good news. I'd like to invite Michael up now to lead us in communion. Thanks, Mike.